Welcome to All About the Hype podcast, where we talk to different creators, professionals, brands, and business owners about the hype and success they are having on their TikTok and the strategies that they have learned to create a positive brand awareness message for their followers. Hey everyone, it is Kyle Kaplanis and welcome to All About the Hype podcast. I have one of the coolest guests on the show. You have seen her over on LinkedIn, that's for sure. Her name is Barbie the Welder. She's an American metal sculptor and author from Erin, New York, and is also over on TikTok with 67,000 followers. She's just kicking ass on all platforms. So, Barbie, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's an honor to be here, Kyle. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
I'd love to know a little bit more about your story about your welding. Tell me more about that. How'd you even get started with that?
Oh, it's kind of crazy, right? So out of high school, I had a background in auto mechanics, went to BOCES in college for auto mechanics. It was my first love. Was in that for a few years and just dealt with a ton of sexism in it. And after about 7 years of working in a whole bunch of different places, I'm like, I'm done. Worked for myself, hauling scrap metal and selling stuff on eBay for a couple of years. And during that time, I got pretty depressed. I was really just bad marriage, living in a place I wasn't happy. And like the income was awful. And just when shit is not right, like you're not in alignment, right, with the universe. And I didn't know that at the time. I do now. But during that time, we went over to our neighbor's house and watched the movie Castaway starring Tom Hanks. And in that movie, there's like this 15-second clip of this woman who is rolling these giant just angel wings. And I wish I had better words to describe it. It chokes me up every single time. It spoke to my soul. Now, I had never welded before. There's no art background. My stick figures are questionable at best. So there's no evidence whatsoever that this would even be remotely a good idea. But I knew that's what I was meant to be. And it doesn't make sense saying it out loud, even though I've lived it. I started chasing it with obsession.
That's so powerful. I love when we have those moments in our life that really touch us. And yeah, it might not make sense to somebody else, but to you, that is what really drove you and really inspired you. And I love that, like you said, you didn't really have an artistic background. You just said you barely could draw. Yeah. That's what's so cool too. It's not like you knew this from when you were born and a child that, oh, I'm going to be a welder. And how old were you, by the way, at that time?
We're going to say 13 years ago, so 31. I have to take off a steel toe boot to do math like that. But yeah, I believe it's been 13 years. 2007 is when I saw the movie.
So that's another thing too, is people's passion. It can happen at any point in our life, even if you feel unfulfilled right now. It doesn't mean that you can't find your true calling. That's why I always try to tell people, try to find your passion and go for it. Because now I'm sure you're so happy in your life right now and you've finally figured out what you're meant to do and you're doing it.
I think Colonel Sanders was like 55 when he decided to do KFC.
Right.
So I mean, it's like we never know. And if you haven't hit that spot of inspiration, like if you're like slogging through a job right now and it's just like, I have to do this because I have to earn an income. If you're like at that point, like just know that every single day, like you can go on a treasure hunt. Like, you know, inspiration can hit you at any moment. It's like lightning, right? We don't know what, you know, and there's not even like the, you know, the clouds weren't rumbling. There wasn't like the dark clouds coming through. There was a zero, there was no signs, right? And I wasn't looking, but I do know now that I call myself a treasure hunter now. Like, it's what I do. Like, if I get stuck in traffic somewhere and, you know, I have to take a different road or something, I'm just like, there's a reason that I'm here. And like, what's the treasure? Like, I have to find the treasure. Going back to like having a job, like if you're just slogging through life, just know that, you know, you're not in alignment with the universe. The universe wants you to be happy. The world wants you to be happy, because then you can put more happiness in. And you really can like do something you deeply love and is obsessed with and get paid for it. But it's about being that treasure hunter and looking for signs, because we get signs all the time. Mm-hmm. We don't always answer them. I get the message that this is what I need to do, right? Like, I needed it. But there's no evidence. I have zero, you know, business background other than hauling scrap metal, which I was handing out business cards to people. I'm like, hey, if you need scrap taken out, give it to your friends, whatever. Like, that was my business acumen. Like, just zero evidence whatsoever. And like, my stick figures, all of that. So like, there was no, but I listened to that sign just for some reason. I don't know why. Because like, looking back between the depression, the bad marriage, and if I say depression, it doesn't even do it justice. Like, mm-hmm. I was one of the lowest points of my life, just freaking miserable, and was on medication for being miserable, and it still wasn't helping. For whatever reason, yeah, it just stuck with me. And I was like, I need to do that.
It's crazy because my whole career path has also changed. I'm 33 right now, and I've been doing this new career path for about a year now. And so at 32, you know, I've basically changed my entire career to follow my dreams. And I'm really grateful for it too. But I'm really grateful for my past career because I was a respiratory therapist. So I worked in the hospital and I saw people who experienced dying and had chances to talk with them. It was really powerful moments for me because I got to, you know, sit there and ask people literally in their last hours, yeah. What is something in life that you can give me? Kind of your last moment to memories. And so many people said, Kyle, listen to those moments and take those chances, because in life we only get sometimes those moments come to us one time. Yeah. They will never come back around. So, and they're like, and oh, I can, gosh, yeah. You know, oh, and they're like, gosh. And I can attest to it because I'm laying here right now and I know this is my last day and I never got some of those opportunities. So go for it. I like to tell people that as if you're not unhappy, I know change sounds really scary. It really yeah. is, but I'm telling you, it will be the best thing you've ever done, especially if you're unhappy. Just get out. Life is yeah. short. What do you have to lose besides being miserable?
Worst case scenario, you fail. You're already miserable. So it's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just,
exactly.
God, jump off a cliff and figure out how to build the airplane on the way down, right?
Yeah.
We get one go around. But what if, like, if this is your only chance at life, don't you freaking deserve to have the most like monumental life ever? Like, live out loud, be a light in the dark for someone on a stormy sea. Like, how can you smile at someone walking through the store? Like, we're all covered up now, you know?
Right.
You can still smile. They can still see it.
Definitely.
Smile at a stranger. You have no freaking clue what they're going through. And something as simple as that, like literally, like you can keep someone from killing themselves. You have no idea what everyone else is going through in their world right now. We get very, this is my shit and I'm slogging through my shit. Gosh, this is awful. You know, but we don't stop and think about like our worst day could potentially be a really good day for someone else.
Right.
You know, like I'm frustrated about this sculpture. I'm having a hard time. And I'm like, God, this is awful. And I talked to my best friend, one of my best friends, and he's like another sculptor. And he's like, yeah, it blew my back out. Yes, I can't work. I wish I could be in the shop right now. Immediately, I'm just like, well, shit. I'm so grateful to be in my shop having right? this problem right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, be grateful for what we have, because we do. We tend to dwell on things like we're so lucky to even be able to dwell on, right? Dig deep, be grateful.
Yeah, yeah, gratitude. I think gratitude to pull me out of depression. It was a focus on something outside of me, but also gratitude. Like, I started being very grateful for my path and like the things that were happening. And I was having like these little small successes and I'm like, oh, no kidding. Like, and it literally like it, my focus was over here on all this negative. I'm like, poor me. And you know, oh, how shitty I'm in this, you know, this relationship and how shitty I am. Like in these, you know, I'm living in the projects and I'm not happy with it. All this stuff was just literally like, I was laser focused on all the things I wasn't happy about having. I'm so grateful that, you know, yes, it took me 9 months to save for school, but I get to go to school for welding now, you know, and that right there mm-hmm. is just like, but I was also just like, all that other stuff kind of fell away on accident. I didn't do it on purpose. Like, I know how to change it now. I know the solution. I know the cure for depression now. Because today, like, zero medication. They were like, you'll be on medication the rest of your life. And I'm like, oh, no, I won't.
Yeah.
But challenge accepted. Which I'm not recommending that. You just do your own thing. But I'm stubborn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, don't tell me how to live my life. But I was still like, I wasn't on the medication. I was still depressed, but going through and following my, what I feel like is my path for welding and for being an artist, that right there was like, the focus came off of like all my negativity.
Mm-hmm.
It was focused on like, how can I make this happen?
Because you changed your path and you changed your mindset. I mean, that's opened up so many cool experiences for you now. I recently saw you on the Kelly Clarkson show where you had that little snippet on there. How was that experience?
Pretty surreal. I literally made a post this morning that my quote is, it's art, anything can happen. There are zero rules to this. And like when I first got in, I really was just like, hey, I'm going to make art. I never once thought about the financial aspect of it. I never once thought about any opportunities or experiences around it. It was just about creating art. Never thought about teaching people either. Voted least likely to be a good example in high school. Voted most likely probably to go to prison at that point in my life. That's a story for another day. I have been just blessed with opportunity after opportunity. Just like literally like this stuff is falling in my lap. Now, I had to work for it. And when I say work, it's, I have an insane work ethic. And when I'm working for me incorporated, even better work ethic. And so I put in thousands and thousands and thousands of hours into my art, into promoting myself through social media, into branding and marketing. Because of that, because it's like it's at work first, right? People contact me all the time with like these just insane opportunities that I would do for free, but they pay me to do it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, what? And like inside my head, I'm like, dang, I would have done that for free. They had me for free. Oh my God. I it's just the most incredible feeling ever. But yeah, like the Kelly Clarkson show, I was on the Today Show earlier this year, the beginning of this year, like being interviewed by Maria That's Shriver. Cool. I'm like, are you shitting me? Like,
that is so cool.
You know, I've been on stage at Full Throttle Saloon in the middle of a Jackal concert, presenting a sculpture that I created to Harley Davidson.
Oh, that's twice? No way. Twice? That's so cool.
Like, who would have thought? And listen, just to let you know, my timeline, I've only been a full-time artist for 6 years.
Wow.
6 years. And also in that time, I've written 5 books and I'm working on my 6th book. So 3 metal art books, but I have 2 other books I've also written. The Inspiration Blueprint, which teaches you how to have an inspired life, like I'm living today. And Honor Thy Art, which teaches artists to stop saying I'm a starving artist. Which I cannot stand that. It's just like, it just rubs me the wrong way. But it teaches artists how to be deeply successful emotionally and financially.
You know, it's really cool too. I remember Jennifer Klein found one of your book. I remember her showing a picture of her in the store with it, which is really cool. That's really accomplishing too. Like how you just got to work and literally was able to write books as well. But can you imagine going back and telling yourself or your peers at that time, I'm going to be successful. I'm going to be an author and all these things.
I couldn't even begin to wrap my brain around it. I was depressed and angry and frustrated and addicted from a very young age. Just because stuff I've gone through, all my choices, by the way, like all my choices. And so high school was definitely not my place to be. And when I was there, I was miserable or drunk or high. I got kicked out of 2 schools in 1 year. One was a school for the bad kids. Like I go into schools today and I talk to kids, which is just, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm kidding. You know, English was my least favorite class and just like freaking hated it. I still have a really hard time spelling. I spell phonetically and like I can't even get spell checker to help me. So I have to use like the little button with the microphone and I'm just like wherewithal. And then like it just puts a word out there for me. So I'm just, I don't know. But I wrote these books and like I never in a million years would have thought to. But early on, 2016, 2 years after being a full-time artist, I was making this horseshoe stuff, these sculptures. A friend of mine had a horse die and gave me these big buckets of horseshoes. And she's like, here, I just, you know, I know you use scrap metal. Took them home. I made her a sculpture. And then I just started like designing different stuff. Started making horseshoe stuff. And a friend of mine who is an amazing photographer, part-time, took a couple pictures of my stuff. I had this horseshoe wine rack with a bottle of Red Cat wine and 2 glasses that hung from it. And he took this picture and I put it on Pinterest, got a nice board on Pinterest. And I never tell people I'm on Pinterest, but I'm on Pinterest. It went viral. I still to this day have been able to replicate it. Like, I don't know how to do that. I just happened to do it.
Right.
And like 12,000 some odd likes later on this one pin. I think this is how I got found. There's no other way that I could figure out how I got found. And I never thought to ask them. This publishing company contacted me and were like, can you write a book about horseshoe crafts? Now, I had just gotten done being approached by a welding company. We want to give you a welder and have you use it. It was not a company I'd ever heard of before, but they're like, pick a welder, we'll send it to you. like, holy crap, right? Yeah. So I pick a welder, I write back, and no one ever writes to me. So I'm like, it was a hoax. I'm not sure what it was. But then literally, like, within a couple of days of that, I get approached by this publisher. We want you to write a book. And I'm like, okay, I will write you a book. I thought it was total bullshit.
Yeah.
I really was just like, I was like, sure, whatever. And so, like, we talked back and forth. And I still, like, the whole time in my mind, I'm like, yeah, whatever, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. They sent me a contract. And they're like, we'll give you money, like, in advance. And I'm like, sure, okay. Like, no kidding, a check showed up in the mail. I was like, oh, my God, I have to write a book.
Yeah, you're like, I guess I have to write a book.
Never. So I was like, oh, shit, I have to write a book. And so what I learned from that is, one, it took me 40 hours to write this book, 23,500 words, 30 welding projects, 420 pictures, about 40 hours it took me to do it. Two things, right? I didn't know that it takes a year to write a book. That's what my mom told me later. She's like, oh yeah, authors take a year. I'm like, well, no one told me that. It's like the first person to run the 4-minute mile, right? Like,
yeah.
What if I know? Like, I, you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, my biggest thing was this. I wanted to get back to welding art.
Yeah.
And like the whole writing thing, I'm just like, just go, go, go. And really just push myself hard because I wanted to get back to making my art.
Right.
And so like in one day, I welded all 30 projects and did all the pictures for those projects. And then the other 32 hours was writing all those words. Because I was just like,
when you submitted it, was the guy like, what the heck?
I feel like yes, right? Whenever I submitted the book, which I think was in maybe August or something like that, they didn't contact me again until either March or April of 2017. And then it took them till November, I think, of 2017 to actually publish it. Mm-hmm. Now, my next two welding art books published myself, and all four or five of my books have been self-published, but I would have never in a million years thought about writing a book. That was a long version around that. Had the company never approached me, I never would have thought about it.
Right.
I was teaching through YouTube videos. That was the very beginning of like my YouTube career, I think was 2015. I'm going to guess maybe like 5 to 10 videos at that time of like, this is how I'm making the art. And like, I really wasn't teaching. I was just more showing people what I was doing. And it really rolled into teaching, which, you know, again, like voted least likely to be a good example on people. And it just like, I have an idea kind of in my head where I want to go.
Yeah.
But I have no freaking clue where I'm going to go because there's no limits.
You said that Pinterest post, was that one of your first things to kind of go viral on social media?
I think so. Yeah. No one thinks of Pinterest when they think of social media, right?
I know. And it's a great source. It really is.
Oh, I will tell you that still to this day, I sell on Etsy. So if you're looking for art, check out my Etsy shop. It's Barbie the Welder. Shameless self-promotion, which artists need to do. Still to this day, as much as I post through all of my social media and as prolific as my following is today, 60% of my sales come from Pinterest.
That's amazing.
It's insane.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's insane because my following on social media is, like I said, it's prolific. It's just unreal the support I've gotten from people online. And it's, if it wasn't for them, I'll cry over that one. Oh my gosh. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's so important with the gratitude. If it wasn't for the people on social media, I couldn't do what I'm doing.
Right.
I would still be going, you know, like still touring shows up and down the East Coast, which I did in the beginning, and it was exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
2015, was it? 48 shows in 52 weeks.
Oh,
in
my 2015, gosh.
In 8 different states, and I was driving to them all.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Sleeping in my truck.
Yeah, some people can say negative things about social media, but it's really, it depends on how you look at it. I think those people probably had bad experiences, but yeah. I think that there's a lot of greatness that comes from it. And just like how you said, there's so much support there that you would never have probably gotten on the streets, where I'm sure you had lots of people that were fans of you, but on this way, you can reach so many more people and share your story and share your art across the world. And you know, you wouldn't be able to drive to some of the places I'm sure you even sold your art to. So that's really crazy. Exciting.
15 countries so far that I've sold my art in. You don't touch that.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So that's so cool. What was the first platform you started on?
Facebook. So started on Facebook. This is like the weirdest thing, but it's the truth. I quit my job to be full-time as an artist. I had like this chunk of money in the bank, but I had no idea I had to sell art. Don't judge me. I mean, you can judge if you want. I would be judging me right now if I was you. But yeah, I had no idea I had to sell art. I just had this insane drive to create. I knew I had to create. I didn't know how to sell. And I literally just made shit in my shop and hoped people would show up and buy it. And no one knows I'm here.
Right.
There's no storefront. That's a garage door.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's shut. When I work, it's usually shut. It's like, what were you thinking kind of thing? But yeah, I just didn't even know I had to sell. And every now and then I would just post a picture on Facebook and just be like, this is what I made.
Yeah.
There was not like, it's available. I made this. You should buy one of a kind stuff because someday I'm going to be freaking famous.
Right.
You know, there was none of that. It was just like scary. Like I'm very scared. I'm scared to show you. I'm like so scared of being judged.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was such a long process from the time of I'm going to be an artist. I know this is my mission in life to the moment I quit my job. It was close to 7 years it took me from the moment I said, I'm going to be an artist till the day I went full time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking long game, people. Like, you need to play the long game. It's not like, oh my God, I don't see results right now. I'm going to quit. Like, no, I guarantee you, if you never give up, you can't fail.
Exactly.
Can't go through the mountain. You have to figure out a way around the mountain. Like, but you can get there. It just might take time.
Exactly. Now you're so good at using all social media platforms. So TikTok kind of came about and you even took the leap onto there, which was really cool. What has been your experience like with TikTok?
Oh my gosh. So every platform is different, right? On Instagram, I could be a little bit badass. On Facebook, I try to watch the F word on there. My mom has probably unfollowed me 6 times because of my F word. Yeah, I love you, Mom. I know. Just love me for who I am. We got LinkedIn, which I'm relatively new to LinkedIn. And LinkedIn the ability, like a year and a half, maybe 2 years.
You literally kicking ass on there, though.
Maybe 2 years. So starting with Facebook and then moved over to Instagram. You know, Instagram was my biggest following until TikTok, which is insane. But I've been on Instagram, I think, for 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. But what had happened was I learned so much in that time that going over to TikTok lets me do the shenanigans, right? So there's like just a different audience. They're younger. I don't have the internet OSHA riding my ass over there. And so like I can kind of go out there and just, you know, shenanigans, which is just like each one is a different outlet for me because I have all these sides and I love to be inspirational. And that's like, it's all about LinkedIn with that. LinkedIn has just embraced me and I have connected with the most amazing people there. Mind blown with like, you know, who I've been connected with.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram really is the same, but yeah, I started TikTok January 22nd. I know that because it's the day before my birthday. yes. In that short time, are we at like 9 months? Maybe 10 months almost.
Yeah.
In that short amount of time, I have 67,000 followers on TikTok. But that's only because I've studied for 6 years on Instagram and I've been working on my YouTube channel. So I'm like making the videos and I know, you know, I'm like, what's going to blow people's minds and they're not, right? And so my goal is to start trends on there versus following other people's trends. Because after a while, I get tired of seeing the same kind of like, I don't want to see the dancing with all due respect. I love you guys dancing. It's just not my thing. TikTok is our next generation of welders. So if I can capture someone's heart at like, say, 13 or 15 years old and have these guys be like, let's get into welding.
Yes.
Like we have moved away from in our society, we've moved away from being trained by a journeyman. We've been pushed into college. And listen, college is great for some people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great for everyone. And I know that my generation, like my parents' generation was like, go to college, do this. And like, I was already miserable in school. I'm like, why the frick would I want to go to another school? It wasn't a fit for me until I found auto mechanics, in which case it was a fit for me because I did go to school. I went to college for auto mechanics. But we've gone away from these skilled trade jobs. Our parents' parents were like breaking backs and it was tough for them. And they're like, go be a doctor, go be a lawyer. Like they want, you know, and it's not out of disrespect. It's out of their wanting us to do good and not have to struggle like they did.
Exactly.
Our generation, the generation that my kids are now, like these parents have been pushing these kids to go to college, get an education, work for a good company, be secure, and then have a retirement. And the thing with that is our skilled tradesmen, for whatever reason, have gotten a bad rap. It's like, oh, that's not a good job. Like the doctor and a lawyer is a good job. And listen, we need all these professions. Mm-hmm. But in my humble opinion, a garbage man is just as important as a doctor.
Yeah.
We need plumbers. We need carpenters. And these people aren't dumb. Like there is like there's a stigma for some reason, like this wild stigma around it's just a dumb welder. Are you shitting me? Like, have you seen the stuff you've got to do? Reading blueprints. There's just a deep level of intelligence that you need to read a blueprint and then not only be able to see it in 2D, but then to go make it in 3D.
Right.
So like these skilled trades that have just gotten like this bad rap, like these are deeply respectful careers of very deeply intelligent craftsmen. I'm pushing for it, right? Like I'm pushing real hard to advocate the skilled trades because I've talked to so many kids whose like parents have pushed them into college.
Yep.
And they're just like, I just want to weld. And my dad doesn't think it's a respectful career. And I'm just like, well, let's look at my bank account versus your dad's bank account. There's so much money in welding.
Yeah.
Also on top of it, there's like this deep, deep sense of self-satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
When you get done for the day, look, you're tired, you're dirty, but you have made something from nothing.
Right.
And that's special. You made something that never existed before and will probably exist for forever. Future aliens will be digging up shit that I made and they'll be like, what is wrong with this person? You know? I'll be on Forensic File. I don't know.
That's so cool.
Like, it's just like this. There's a nobility in craftsmanship.
Yeah.
That we need to pass along to these next generations and through platforms of social media. And I think especially TikTok, because right now video is king.
Yeah.
You know that. You know, here we are. When I needed to put a drive shaft in my Jeep, which I don't own anymore. I miss you, baby. I went on YouTube and I literally laid underneath my Jeep with YouTube, with my phone.
Exactly.
And I taught myself how to put drive shafts front and rear in my Jeep. You want it, you could find it on, you know, how do I upload it? How do I fix this? How do anything?
Yep.
So video is absolute king right now, or queen if you're me. Video is queen right now. When I saw TikTok pop up, and I was like actually kind of late to the platform, right? Because I just got on there in January, and I don't know when it started, so please don't quote me on that. I had seen a couple of times, popped up a couple of times through LinkedIn, and like TikTok. I was like, no kidding. The universe was like, hey, TikTok. And I was like, eh, I'm not sure. I'm going to go over back here. But, you know, they're like, hey, TikTok. I'm like, do I really need another social media platform at this time? Because damn, I'm already really busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing all the things other than photography right now. I hired a photographer earlier this year to do videos and stuff. But I'm still wearing all the hats in my business. Even when I hire all the other things, my art, my social media will always be me, no matter how big it grows. It'll always be me. I'm not going to hire a company to do it. I'm not even going to hire someone to do the posts. It's very personal for me. It's called social media. The social part of it.
Right.
It makes me really happy. But yeah, seeing TikTok, it was just like, after I realized what it is, I'm like, yeah, it's a no-brainer for me, right? That's you're talking about. It's video. It's my jam. And it's also the next generation of welders. So I'm like, if I can go over there and give them something that they've never seen before, and there's a ton of women welders.
Mm-hmm.
There are actually a few women sculptors out there. Gotten really good at figuring out, like, I mean, like 6 years of practice on Instagram. I'm like, what is going to blow people's minds? What's going to start a new trend? How can I teach people? How can I inspire people?
Definitely.
It's all about service, right?
Exactly.
Like, how can I serve others? Going over to TikTok, looking at it for a little bit. I'm like, I can FS up over here. I can really inspire some people. I can make people go, what is she thinking? As artists, it's our job to make people question us, right? It's to make people uncomfortable.
Love your mindset of that you're saying, I'm going to be there because that's the future of welders. And I love that. And I think that there's a lot of people that are missing that concept as well. They're like, there's too many kids there, which to be honest, the platform's starting to age up now. But even with it being kids, why wouldn't you want to share your knowledge? They're needing to learn. They're not seeing that though. Yeah, they're out there. I know they're not seeing that, which is driving me crazy. Because it's like, look, you could be known. You could be known as the one on the platform that you know in your niche. You could be known as the pro in your niche. Why not get in now? Like Barbie, you're going to be known as like the welder of TikTok, right? For the future growing up, they're going to be like, when they think of welding, they're going to think of you. That's huge.
Oh my gosh. It gives me goosebumps. Oh, it's crazy, right? Because it's like, when I think of like a teacher in art, it's Bob Ross. That's the man. That's the one that like I watched growing up, and it resonated with me because he made painting accessible for everybody. He took this like this glorified, like only artists can do it, and he made it accessible for, you know, a 9-to-5-er. And that's where I want to be. Like, that's one of my, he's my spirit animal, right? Like, that's who, like, when I'm like making videos, I'm like, what would Bob do? And so like trying to make it as easy and accessible as possible for everyone to create metal art, whether it's to get into art or to get into welding or to get into both, like, how can I serve people on that? And it's the teachers for me that stand out in my life. Like, who are the ones, like,
definitely,
out of all the people I've met, I have a couple of teachers that just changed everything for me, right? They gave a shit.
Exactly.
They cared about me. They made me feel special, and they made learning fun and easy. And I'm like, that's where I want to be when Jesus comes back.
I think anybody that we can think of actually in our life, it's because they made an impact on us, you know? Yeah. So it's really important to do that. And teaching is a huge way you can reach so many people. When they learn something and you've driven a new passion inside them, they'll never forget that and who that came from. Do you have a favorite creator on TikTok at all?
Definitely Jennifer Klein. Like, I love seeing what she's doing. She has such an amazing story behind her.
Mm-hmm.
And her wherewithal is really cool. Dabs Wellington is now over on TikTok, which I don't know if he beat me over there or not. I'm not sure. But his videos, his personality, his creativity, his craftsmanship is really second to none. I just absolutely love him. Call him Dabsy. And I'm like, I don't care what you think about me calling me that. I love him over there. He is blown up on TikTok, and it's really fun to watch his videos.
That's cool.
Those two immediately pop to mind when it comes to creativity on there.
I think it would be really cool one day if you did some sort of collaborations with him on a TikTok video. That'd be awesome. Because I know, like, I can already picture how you and Jennifer Klein can easily work together. I mean, she makes cool crafts and stuff. The other gentleman, what does he do?
Dabs Wellington, he is a welder. He creates these most glorious pictures using stainless steel, like polished stainless steel.
Mm-hmm.
And then he etches, somehow etches a drawing into it. But then he does the welding. And I'm like, this is my international symbol for TIG welding. He welds over it with the TIG, and it just is like this glorious rainbow. But like, he'll have the picture, but then it's also like this, it's just, if you haven't seen, just go check out Dabs Wellington.
I will.
Oh my
That's
gosh.
Cool.
I cannot describe it in enough glory to describe what he's doing. Welding is so much more, like, I think when you say welding to people, they're like, oh, pipeline, or oh, bridges, or oh, you know, like this dirty ass factory, which it is all those things. It is all those things, but there's so much more to welding, and there's just such a wide variety of jobs that are available in it. And being an artist is one of them.
I've really loved hearing your story and your drive and your passion and your drive to inspire others around you. So it's really exciting. And I really, you know, appreciate everything. What's the best place and how can they find you?
Check out my website, barbiethewelder.com. That's where I showcase a lot of my stuff. Go check out my art there. But I'll also have information about my books and how to weld art. And my metal kits are over there. Check out my YouTube channel where I teach how to weld art. I sell online through Etsy. So Etsy.com/shop/BarbieTheWelder. You can also find all my books are available on Amazon. I'm also on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and LinkedIn, all under Barbie the Welder. Just search Barbie the Welder. I'm dangerously prolific at shameless self-promotion.
You have to in life. Nobody's going to do it for you, right?
That right there, right?
Barbie, I appreciate that. And anybody who's listening all those links will literally be in the description of this episode, so it's easy to find. So if whatever one you want to go to, if you want to check out her Etsy shop, I'll have the link in there as well. This was a really cool episode, Barbie. I really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much.
I'm deeply honored you took your time to talk with me. Thank you so much, Kyle. I appreciate you.